Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 14 and read through verse 20. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. What we hear now is God's Word. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. Well, for those of you who are visiting with us tonight, we have been looking at the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus as it's told to us in the book of Mark. Mark, that student, that companion of Peter, who heard his preaching and wrote down this gospel for us. We have talked about Jesus' ministry announced by John, that John came ahead of Jesus with that message, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We have talked about Jesus' ministry inaugurated. We saw that last time in the two events that we looked at, the baptism of Jesus, where he is inaugurated, placed into service, and in that wilderness temptation, where he demonstrates his power as the one who can complete the work God has given him to do. And now tonight, Jesus' ministry commenced. We get to the part of the story where he actually comes to do what God called him to do. We read that Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of God. As we look at Jesus' life and at his ministry, we will see that he does many things. He feeds the crowds. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. But his ministry was to come and declare the gospel. His ministry was to come and bring the way of salvation and the means of salvation for each and every one of God's chosen people. Tonight, we look at Jesus' ministry commence, as it's seen in these two brief sections, this declaration of the kingdom being at hand, and also the call of the first disciples. And in that call, we see something of our own call, given to each of us to follow after Jesus, who comes proclaiming the gospel of God, the kingdom is here. Jesus comes, and he says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." The time is fulfilled. Jesus comes not at some haphazard time in history. It is not an accident that he comes when he does. But he comes in the fullness of time, just when God wanted to send him. The ministry of Jesus was not something that just appeared on the scene in the New Testament. But he came in the fullness of time, at the proper time in God's entire plan of redemption. A plan that reaches all the way back into the Old Testament, all the way back into the Garden of Eden. Where from the beginning, when man fell into sin, God had a plan of redemption. God had a plan of salvation. He told them all the way back then that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And for years and years and years, Israel waited for that prophecy's fulfillment. There would be glimmers along the way. There would be those whom God would raise up as great leaders of their people. It would be Moses who'd be raised up to take care of the people. There'd be Joshua. We talked about him for a number of weeks, not so long ago. There would be prophets who were raised up to declare, he is coming yet. Don't lose faith. God will fulfill his promises. There would be the kingship, where the kings would be a reflection of that great king to come. David, the man after God's own heart, that great king over God's people. And in all of his greatness, he was only a faint reflection of the one whom God would send in the fullness of time. His kingship was but a reflection of the kingship of Jesus Christ. There would be the priestly ministry, the offering of sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and yet all of these sacrifices ongoing till Jesus Christ would come on the scene and would offer himself as the final, as the last, as the complete sacrifice for the sins of all of God's people. It was in the fullness of time, when time was fulfilled, God came and sent his Son. Israel would be impatient along the way, wondering if perhaps God had forgotten them, wondering if perhaps he would fulfill the word promised so long ago, all the way back in Eden. And yet God is faithful. His word is always trustworthy. When God says he will do it, he will do it. But in his time and in his way. What a reminder to us who sometimes get impatient with God. When we have a particular burden that we're bearing, when we have a particular sin we're struggling with, and we say, oh God, relieve me of this, release me from this bondage. And yet God, in his time, does all things well. God, in his time, sends the ministry that is needed. Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now notice what he says. Jesus doesn't say the king is at hand, although he certainly was. He doesn't say the time is fulfilled, the Savior is at hand, although he certainly was that too. Jesus comes and he says the kingdom is at hand. And in that, we get a clearer, a broader picture of what our relationship to God is supposed to be about. It is not the case that our relationship with God is simply a, if I can put it this way, a me and Jesus relationship. That it's just about me and Jesus in our own little private times together, in our own little devotion times together, but everything else is beyond the call of Christ. No, the kingdom is a cosmic kingdom. The kingdom is a worldwide kingdom, and the call to be in that kingdom has to affect every part of our lives. Because Jesus came, and he says the kingdom is at hand, and as that kingdom comes into the world and encroaches upon God's people, everything changes. It is not simply their relationship with God that changes, but everything changes. Time changes when Christ comes into the world. Time changes. It used to be the fact that they would worship on the seventh day of the week, anticipating a rest. But when Christ came and following his work on earth, that time changes from the seventh day to the first day of the week. We live out of the rest Christ has given to us. We see the church in its nature changes. No longer is it an exclusive group, Jews only and a few others. But now it is an inclusive group. The gospel goes out to every language and people and tribe and nation, and it is declared indiscriminately. There is an expansion when the kingdom comes. The sacraments change. No longer a bloody sign, no longer a bloody right to be right with God, but now a clean sign, a water sign, baptism. We talked about baptism a couple weeks ago. Baptism given. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. That's because the kingdom affects everything. It affects more than my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It affects every choice, every decision, everything that I do in my life. That's the proclamation Christ comes to give. Not the King is here, not the Savior is here, but the kingdom. This glorious, glorious picture that God has given to us. The kingdom is at hand. Therefore, Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. That's his call. Proclamation of the kingdom includes repent and believe the gospel. Because Christ comes and announces the kingdom, which is worldwide, which changes everything, everything has to change. Repent. Repentance has a bit of a negative connotation to it. It deals with what we don't do. Repentance means to be walking in a certain way and then to turn around and to walk the other way. The people were walking in darkness. Isaiah 9 reminds us of that. The people were walking in darkness and they have seen a great light. And so their whole way of life changes. Not just a little bit. I'm just a part, but everything changes when Jesus comes. Repent, turn around, change, go the other direction. No longer living for ourselves, no longer living for our own selfish interests, living with myself as king on the throne, but now recognizing because of the kingdom, there is a different king on the throne. Jesus Christ is enthroned. He is the one who must call the shots. I need to stop living for myself, living for my own benefit, and to live according to His call. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Whereas repentance speaks about what we don't do, we don't walk in this old way of life, belief speaks about what we actually do. The way that we respond to the gospel. Not just with an intellectual apprehension, but a deep-rooted trust. A heart that loves the Lord. And that heart then directs my actions. That heart that is changed by the power of God directs the things that I do. It directs my words. It directs the choices that I make. Repent, don't go this way anymore, and believe. Walk in the ways of God. This is the proclamation that Jesus comes with. The time is fulfilled. That time you have been waiting for, that time promised so long ago, the kingdom is now at hand. It is here. It is coming into the world. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. Change. Don't live for yourself, but live for Christ. And that's the call that goes out today again from this pulpit. Perhaps you have never truly repented. Perhaps you've never truly turned away from your old way of life. Jesus calls tonight. The kingdom is at hand. Repent. Change. Don't walk in the sinful way anymore. And believe. Believe the truth. Believe that He came. Believe that He came declaring the gospel of God and live in a way that is pleasing to Him. The general call of the gospel goes out again tonight. The call to repentance and to faith. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom. And then He not only gives the general call of the gospel, repent and believe, but He gives a specific call to service. A specific call of the kingdom to these four men that we read about in verses 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting them into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." The call of the kingdom is to follow the King. Jesus comes to them and says, follow me. Well, the first thing we notice is Jesus is the one that does the seeking of them. Sometimes we talk about people who are seeking after God. We know we are only seeking after God because He is first seeking after us. They were fishing. They were out on the boats. Later they're cleaning the nets. And Jesus comes to them with the call. Where they are, where they're working, come and follow me. Jesus does the leading. We are called to do the following. And it sounds so basic, but how often we get those two things turned around. We say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Oh, and by the way, God, please bless that. I'm going to make this choice, this choice, this choice. I hope it's okay with you, God. Jesus does the leading. We do the following. That's the call of the kingdom. Jesus said to them, follow me. He leads, we follow. And when Jesus came with that call, follow me, we read in verse 18, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. They followed completely, and they followed immediately. They were working. They were busy, engaged in their vocation. And Jesus comes and says, follow me, and immediately they leave their nets. Again with James and John. Going a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets, and immediately he called them, and they left. No hesitation. When Jesus calls and calls us to follow after him, it should not be the case that we say, well, let me weigh my options. Let me think about that for a while. I'm not so sure, Jesus, if I want to follow you. I'm not so sure if I want to hear this call to follow after you because it's gonna cramp my style. It's gonna have me make some difficult choices. But Jesus calls, and we are to respond immediately and completely. They leave their nets. They leave their boats. James and John leave their father. The call of Jesus is a call that may take us in a different direction than we had anticipated. They were fishermen, fishing. I'm sure that if you had asked them, what do you plan to be doing 10 years from now? They'd say, fishing. We're fishermen. But Jesus comes and they immediately and completely leave what they're doing and follow after him. They were businessmen. Fishing was a good business. We read that these sons of Zebedee obviously had other men working for them. Because when they leave their father with the hired servants in the boat. So this is not some, two men in a rowboat out there. This is a fishing business. And yet, when the call of Christ comes, they are willing to leave everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. They would leave their work. They would leave their family if that was required. Now, so often God is so good to us. He doesn't ask us to change our work radically at times. He'll allow us to follow him in the place where he has placed us. And that's a wonderful blessing. But there are times when he does call for a change. When he does call for a change in the work we're doing. For a change in our family commitments. If our family is keeping us from wholeheartedly following after Christ, wholeheartedly living according to his call, then we are called to leave. Respectfully, but we're called to leave. Christ and the call of the kingdom must take first place. Sometimes God calls us to particular service. We talked tonight about Nicolaitans being called to the ministry. Maybe there are some of you here tonight who are considering the call to that type of ministry, the gospel ministry. Maybe this text hits a little too close to home when Jesus says, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Let me assure you, men, if you are considering the call to that type of service in Christ's kingdom, there is no more wonderful vocation than hearing the call to serve God in that particular way. Oh, it may mean leaving family. It may mean living in different types of places. But it is the call of God. God calls us to service in His kingdom, and He puts us where He wants us, even if it makes us uncomfortable. That's the call tonight. To live in such a way that no matter what we are doing, we are seeking to follow after God. That wherever God has placed us, whether that be in business, in education, in school yet, in our homes, that we live in such a way that the call of Christ resonates with our hearts and we seek to follow after Him. We have heard the call of the kingdom. And we now want to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. That's what we witness tonight in profession of faith. Profession of faith is not the time when our covenant children become saved. It is the time when they embrace the call of their Savior to a lifelong commitment to serve Him. That is the call that we heard again tonight, and the commitment we heard tonight, that's the commitment that each of you who have professed your faith have committed to God, that I will serve you, I will follow you, I will do what you call me to do. And that's the reminder we get from God's Word tonight. To leave anything else that would hinder us from complete and total service to God. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus doesn't say, "Follow me and you'll be fishers of men." He says, "I will make you become fishers of men." When God calls us to a particular place in His kingdom, whether that be in the gospel ministry, whether that be in education, whether that be farming in the field, whether that be as a bricklayer, whether that be in the office building, whenever God calls us, He also then equips us. He equips us to do the work that He has called us to do. I will make you become fishers of men. Oh, it will take work on our part. We must be diligent. We must use the opportunities God has given to us. But don't think you're on your own. Don't think that God calls you to a particular service in His kingdom and then leaves you hanging out there. I will make you become fishers of men. I will give you gifts. I will give you talents. I will give you abilities. And I will give you opportunities to advance the call of my kingdom, that you might share with those in your circle of influence who the King is, who Jesus Christ is, the one who is this ruler over the cosmic kingdom. Opportunities will be given to you. You must take them. The opportunities to share the glories of Jesus Christ, the cosmic nature of the kingdom, that God is ruler over all things. I will make you become fishers of men, but you will do the fishing. You will do the work. Having heard my call, I will train you, I will equip you, and you then must go out and serve me where I have called you. God reminds us of that tonight. He has called us to different places of ministry in His kingdom. And He continues to work in us that He might work through us, that we might touch those around us with the call and the message of the kingdom. And if you are visiting with your co-worker over a cup of coffee, if you are talking with a neighbor in the field, if you are talking with a friend after class, and you sense that there is an openness for sharing the glories of the kingdom, then don't neglect the opportunity. I will make you become fishers of men. Now you go out and use the gifts, use the talents, use the opportunities that I give to you. Following wholeheartedly, following completely, following immediately after the King, after the Lord, after our Savior. That's God's call to you tonight. Jesus' ministry commences with a call, a proclamation. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. People of God, that same message is true tonight. God's kingdom is here. The time is at hand. Go forth and use the gifts and talents He has given to you. Follow Him, and He will make you become fishers of men as well. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we praise You as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. You are the one who rules over all creation. And yet, in spite of the fact that You, the great God, the Almighty, has called us to Your service, we so often want to hold back. We're afraid of what we'll miss out on. Perhaps we're afraid of difficulties we will face in the future. Lord God, strengthen our hearts tonight. May we give ourselves wholly, completely, immediately to following after You, wherever You might lead. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.